Welcome to Political Hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. Want to connect with Howie? Email him at howie@israelnewstalkradio.com. Now here's your host, Howie Silberger.
And I'm Howie Silberger. It is 80 years since the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp. 80 years since the defeat of Nazism. Since Jews showed the world that they are not going to go down in flames. That they are not going to allow the enemies, their enemies, to kill them. 80 years since Jews survived a genocide. And what have we learned in those 80 years? Have we learned anything? It doesn't seem that way sometimes. Sometimes it seems like in the 80 years since the liberation of Auschwitz, we've regressed rather than moved ahead. That the Jewish community has forgotten the strength and the resilience that had to be shown to survive Nazism. That Jews have gotten weak. And that we've laid back and we've decided to capitulate, to give up. We have a state. Many Jews in North America tell me, we have a state. The state of Israel will protect us when the Jew haters rise up and try to kill us. As long as the state of Israel exists, we are safe, I'm told. But now that the state of Israel is weak, where do we go from there? How do we survive as a Jewish nation when we're weak? This week, there's supposed to be another hostage exchange. And it's so perverse to call it a hostage exchange, because that's not what it is. And Western media has labeled it hostage exchange, and it's such an insulting, horrific thing to say. There is no hostage exchange. There are no hostages on the Jewish side. There are terrorists that were arrested for committing heinous acts of terror against the Jewish people. And there are no hostages on the Arab side, on the Hamas side. They're not hostages. They're not prisoners of war. They're innocent civilians that were kidnapped, tortured, and some killed during a genocidal attack on the state of Israel. Why we use this language and allow this language to be used is beyond me. Why we allow people to degrade Jewish life is beyond me. It doesn't make any sense to me. We're supposed to be a proud nation. We're supposed to be a nation standing up. We're supposed to be a nation that cares about each other. And yet we allow ourselves to be dredged through the mud with this terminology. We allow our media, we allow our politicians to use this terminology. And we condemn people who speak the truth. We condemn people who use real words and who try to put it into a frame where it's supposed to be. J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States of America, said a little while ago, he said, "I don't think we should be saying bring them home. I think we should be saying let them go." And he's 100% correct. Bring them home doesn't mean anything. Let them go means everything. Remember years ago when the Soviet Union was holding refuseniks, Jewish people who wanted to be Jewish in the Soviet Union and who were arrested for being Jewish, people like Anatoly Sharansky. The mantra was, let them go. Let them go. Mordechai Ben David even sang a song, 1,000 shouted, "No, let our people go." Yet here we use Millie-most language to try to convince a population that hates us, that babies and innocent women and children should be released from Hamas terror tunnels. It's sickening. You've got to remember this. When Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th, 2023, they knew full well that they were not going to overthrow the Israeli government and take over the land. They knew full well that there would be retaliation, that the Israeli government would retaliate against this attack and would come into Gaza. They knew full well that if they kidnapped the Israelis, that the Israeli government would do everything in their power militarily to get their people back. They knew this. But you know what else they knew? They knew that when Israel entered Gaza and started fighting to rid Gaza of terror and started fighting to release their people, to free their people who were taken, kidnapped, and were held in terror tunnels in Gaza, they knew that they could change the narrative. They knew that Western media and Western politicians would go with the flow and would believe everything they said. And so they started releasing crazy numbers of people killed by the Israelis, and the Western media ran with it. And they started releasing these crazy allegations that Israel did this and Israel did that, stuff that wasn't true, stuff that proven not true, and the media ran with it. Much like the media ran with false allegations against Donald Trump, much like the media ran with false allegations against anything that doesn't fit the media narrative. But when it comes to maligning the Jewish people, when it comes to maligning the state of Israel, the media is really good at it. The media is really good at making Jewish life cheap. The media is really good at not valuing even Jewish children. We have a hostage exchange happening this week. That's what the media is calling it, a hostage exchange. A bunch of prisoners are being released from Hamas captivity. Yet we're told that some of those prisoners are dead. There's no media outrage. The Red Cross isn't screaming. The Red Cross hasn't bothered to go and see the people being held captive by Hamas. The Red Cross, the only time the Red Cross has seen these people is when they're being released. So we're getting dead captives. People who are killed in captivity. And Israel is expected to release live terrorists. Live terrorists for dead captives. Well, if I was the Prime Minister of Israel, I would trade body for body. But I would value Jewish bodies much higher than Hamas terrorist bodies. For every Jewish body you gave us, we'll give you back five dead terrorists. That's the way I would do it. And I wouldn't give a darn what the world had to say about that. Jewish life isn't cheap. Someone's got to pay the price for taking Jewish life. The Israeli government is not paying the price. The Israeli government is not doing their job. Their job is to protect their citizenship. Their job is to ensure that Israelis are safe, and they're not doing that. They have failed in that department. It's unbelievable. It's really, really crazily unbelievable. 80 years after liberation of Auschwitz, Jewish captives that were taken during a genocidal attack are being returned to Israel dead. Let that sink in for a second. The end of the genocide corresponds with the return of dead bodies. The same anniversary. How are we supposed to react? Are we supposed to be cheering? Are we supposed to be happy? I'm very confused as to what emotion I am supposed to have. Am I supposed to say thank you to Hamas for returning these bodies? Am I supposed to say thank you, Hamas, for killing these people? I can't rejoice. This is not a happy occasion. I don't know people who are. I know people who are very happy. They're rejoicing. They're jumping for joy. They're having rallies in downtowns of cities across North America, celebrating the release of terrorists. And how is this going to play out? It's quite simple. The terrorists being released have proven themselves as terrorists. They have killed people already. They have blood on their hands. They're just going to restock the shortage of fighters that Hamas had. They're going to strengthen Hamas. Israel is refilling the ranks of Hamas by releasing these people. And these people, are they allowed to stay in Israel? Do they have to leave Israel? No. They don't have to leave Israel because that's not part of the deal. Some of them are going into Jerusalem. Some of them are going into Judea and Samaria. Of course. Take terrorists, release them from your prison, and put them back in the heart of your civilization because that's normal. That's protecting your citizenship. It's perverse. We live in an upside-down world. It doesn't make any sense to me. Auschwitz death camp was allowed to operate while Allied bombers flew over it. They didn't bomb the death camp. They didn't bomb the railway tracks leading to the death camp. They just allowed Jews to be burned. Gassed and burned, gassed and burned. It's quite ironic, though, that 80 years later, the Arabs, who are the natural descendants of the Nazis, and historically, I'm not just saying that as rhetoric, it's actually history. Historically, Haji Amin al-Husseini, who was the Mufti of Jerusalem during World War II, was an aide to Adolf Hitler. In fact, he ran the SS in... It's just so crazy. He ran the SS, the German death squads, and was allowed to take the the techniques that he learned. I'm sorry, it's hard for me to find words to describe evil. It's extremely hard to find words to describe evil, so I apologize that I'm pausing. I'm choosing my words carefully. He took the techniques he learned from killing Jews in Europe and he brought it to the Middle East and he trained his Arab armies in the same style of the Nazis. And if you watch Haji Amin al-Husseini and his troops when he returned to Jerusalem, you will see the goose-stepping and the Nazi saluting and the uniforms that they wore. You'll understand that Nazism and Arab fascism are one and the same. And the goal of Nazism was to wipe out the Jews. Why did they want to wipe out the Jews? Because they wanted a new world order, and the Jews got in the way. Why did the Arabs want to wipe out the Jews? Well, because Jews are usurpers of Arab land, and therefore they must be killed. They're the infidels. And what better way to learn how to kill Jews than to learn from the best? Learn from the people who did it. Learn from the people who succeeded in killing a third of the Jewish population. Yet here we are. People running through the streets of North America, through the streets of Europe, screaming and yelling, burning down synagogues, calling for the annihilation of Jewish people, calling to globalize the Intifada, which is the indiscriminate attacks, physical attacks on Jews. That's the life we're living in. Take a look what's happening in Australia. It's insane what's happening in Australia. Jewish schools, Jewish synagogues, Jewish homes are being burned by Jew haters who are rampaging through the streets in Queensland. and the world remained silent. Not a peep from the United Nations, not a peep from any world leader. Oh, we have the hypocrite to world leaders, people like Justin Trudeau of Canada, who went running to Auschwitz to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, while Islamic crazies run through his country yelling death to the Jews. It's unbelievable. Let's go to the phones. Hi.
Hi, Howie. I know today is a Remembrance Day, and I've seen it all over Facebook and everything. People are talking about it. But speaking as a child of Holocaust survivors, every day is a Remembrance Day. Every day of our lives, we know there was a Holocaust. With our parents, when our parents were alive, especially by their behaviors, things that they did or wouldn't do, fears, all that was a daily reminder that there was a Holocaust. Then your parents die and they're survivors and they're worried about how close their plot is to the memorial for the 6 million, all these things all the time. And I can't forget. Every day I remember. However, what I wanted to bring up is what's going on now. It makes it worse. People said, and I used to say, as an activist on campuses, never again, never again. Well, hell, it's happening again. What are we doing?
We have allowed never again to become an empty promise. And that's exactly. Really the biggest crime that we've committed, is that never again has become an empty promise.
Today on Facebook, I see my friends posting all these never again. It's like, what are you doing about it? You can say it, but it's empty, just as you said. It no longer holds any meaning to me because it's happening and there's no one doing anything, myself included. But there's not anything happening. Where are our community leaders?
It's amazing. About 25 years ago, I wrote an article about Jewish apathy. And I complained back then, where were the strong Jews? Where were the Jews on the streets? When the Russian refuseniks were being held behind the Iron Curtain, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Jews that took the streets and stood in front of the Russian consulates and screamed at Russian ballet dancers and drove the Russians crazy, saying, let our people go. And that went on for a decade, where Jews were standing on the streets.
I was there.
And what happened?
I was at the demonstration.
What happened to those Jews? Where did they go? You know, I mentioned before that Mordechai Ben David wrote a song about the refuseniks, right? The thousand soldiers, no, let my people go. Remember? I don't know if you remember that song, but he wrote that song about Russian refuseniks. But hardly anybody has written any music or has done anything to rally the troops to get onto the streets and to face this scourge that has taken over and has called for the death of Jews and are burning down synagogues and desecrating buildings. And calling for the genocide of Jewish people. Jews are hiding in their buildings.
Maybe it's time we get a group together and we hire lawyers.
What are lawyers going to do?
Lawyers, they're going to fight the city, the universities. They're just going to keep them so freaking busy with paperwork and documents and complaints.
How about 10,000 Jews get out of their homes and get onto the streets and start screaming, our lives matter?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. And as an activist, I can tell you, you're asking, where are those people now? I can tell you, they're all living in suburbia, married. A couple of them are Federation mockers. That's what they're doing. They're raising their kids and their family. And hopefully I don't know even if some of their kids are even being raised Jewish. I mean, with a Jewish identity.
See, the problem is that when Jews became affluent, they became apathetic.
Yes, 100%.
Affluence breeds apathy. That's what happened in Israel too. When Israel was starving and they knew that they couldn't survive if they got attacked, that it would be very difficult to survive, They fought hard, and they fought. It didn't matter if they had pitchforks, didn't matter if they had rifles, didn't matter what they had. They fought for their country, and they fought for their lives. But once they became affluent and their GDP exceeded the GDP of most North American countries, and then they had a military industry, suddenly the people became apathetic. And this is why we don't see thousands of people in the street, because Jews got too comfortable. They became too assimilated, became too comfortable in the countries they're living in to even realize that hatred is there and Jewish hatred is there, and it's going to be there, and it's dangerous, and Jews just aren't going to do that.
Yeah, it's I don't like it. I don't know myself what to do.
Yeah, I don't like it either. We have no Jewish leadership. It's really sad.
No, absolutely none whatsoever.
And that's not only in North America. It's right across the world. There's no Jewish leadership.
Well, I'm talking about where in my community where I live. The synagogues, the schools, there's still two daycares that are one across the street from each other in Code St. Luke, and they're actually sharing a security guard. I mean, can he really do anything? He doesn't have a gun. He doesn't have anything. What's he going to do? Hey, please, come quick. And that's if they don't shoot him first.
Yeah, it's amazing that that's only Jewish schools and only Jewish institutions that need security. Everybody else can keep their doors unlocked. It's very sad. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great night.
You too. It's just very sad. It's extremely, extremely sad for Jews in North America, Jews in Europe, that it's only the Jewish community that has to protect themselves. Only the Jewish community has to spend millions and millions of dollars on security. Everybody else could keep their doors unlocked. Everybody else could just welcome anybody into their buildings, and there's no threat. It's only the Jewish community that's being threatened. How scary and sad is that? Jacob wrote, Trudeau, Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau, went downhill after announcing he would arrest Netanyahu. There were a couple of countries, including France and England, that said they would arrest Netanyahu after the International Criminal Court decided to indict him. And it's just crazy. It's just insane. The International Criminal Court indicted the leader of a country that was a victim of an attack, a genocidal attack that killed 1,300 people in one day and had hundreds of prisoners, hundreds of prisoners, I call them prisoners, they're captives, hundreds of captives taken. And the leader of that country who sent their army in to go and protect and save these people who were taken captive by a terrorist organization is called a criminal. And yet world Jewry sat back and allowed this to happen. And democratic countries around the world allowed this to happen. I guarantee if the people taken captive weren't Jewish and the world leader who went in to take their people back wasn't Jewish, the International Criminal Court would have ignored it. They would have said he was justified. They attacked him. What did you expect him to do? Sit back and do nothing? It's always the Jews that get the short end of the stick. Always the Jews that get attacked. Always the Jews that get maligned, and always the Jews that have to protect themselves and are threatened. It's time to start fighting back, folks. You can't sit back and be quiet anymore. You just can't do it anymore. You got to stand up and be heard. You got to scream and yell and jump up and down and demand that your Jewish leaders do something to protect you. Do something to reclaim your place in society. But if you can't reclaim your place in society, then it's up to you to fill out the forms and then make Aliyah, move to Israel. Get away from the crazies and the haters. People tell me, there are Jews who tell me that Israel is scary. Israel is a scary place. North America and Europe are much scarier places. North America and Europe are much more dangerous places than Israel, for sure. 100% more dangerous. Because the person living next door to you that claims to be your friend will turn around and kill you when the opportunity arises. Just ask the Jews of Poland. Just ask the Jews of Germany. Just ask the Jews of Czechoslovakia. Ask the Jews of Hungary. They'll tell you all about it. Oh, wait, they can't. Stop living with rose-colored glasses and start realizing that Jews aren't safe anywhere but Israel. It's time to go home. It's time for the Jewish community to realize that life in North America is over. Life in Europe is over. Jews have outlived their welcome. And no matter how many billions of dollars you want to spend on security and building moats and building watchtowers and having guards and putting an alarm system upon alarm system upon alarm system and cameras, you're still not safe. You're still not safe. I hate to be the one to bear bad news, and I really wish I could get on here and do happy shows. I really wish I don't have to be so angry, and I really wish that I could get on here and tell you the truth that, you know, life is filled with sunshine and roses. It's not the world we live in, unfortunately. And we're never going back to that world. And as long as we have weak leadership, both country leadership and Jewish leadership, it gets more and more dangerous. When countries start welcoming in terrorists from other countries, Canada has pledged that they're going to allow refugees from Gaza into Canada by the tens of thousands. Europe, many countries in Europe, three or four countries in Europe, have pledged to allow Gazans in also by the tens of thousands. The United States, under Joe Biden, said they were to allow them in. I think Donald Trump blocked it, but Joe Biden said they would allow them in too. Tens of thousands. Importing terror, importing problems from other countries is what causes problems in your country. I'm not against immigration, but I am against mass immigrations of terror from terrorist countries. I am against bringing in people without vetting them, without finding out if they are terrorists, without finding out what their political philosophies are. I am against that. And many people will say to me, but Howie, you know, the Jews during the Holocaust, they weren't allowed anywhere, and you criticize these countries for not allowing the Jews in. Well, that was a different situation. There's no genocide happening in Gaza. Now, regardless of what the media wants to tell you, there's no genocide happening in Gaza. The war in Gaza could have been over 2 years ago had Hamas just laid down their arms and surrendered. War in Gaza could have been over 2 years ago had Hamas just returned the captives. Now they're returning them in exchange for terrorists. Now they're returning them dead. Nobody could be happy about that. I'm Howie Silberger. I want to thank you for joining me. I will see you again next show. Have a great one.